Thank you. I am Fombe Priscilla from Kansas State University, and you can see it. Yeah, thanks. There is a slight modification with the title of my presentation, and it's suppression of soil fungi on biophysical properties involving carbon dynamics. There is increasing interest in understanding carbon dynamics because of the role of soil organic matter in assessing soil quality, and also because of the implication of carbon dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere, which have been implicated in global climate change. But there are uncontrollable factors such as sunlight, climate, and soils which influence carbon dynamics. Despite human activities which are involved in management practices also influence soil carbon dynamics. Of special interest is aggregate formation, and particularly resulting from Abyssinia mycorrhiza fungi activities. Abyssinia mycorrhiza fungi is a symbiotic relationship between Abyssinia mycorrhizae and roots. And it is important because AMF actually translocates nutrients from the bulk soil to the plant. These nutrients are especially nitrogen and phosphorus, and also the AMF translocates organic carbon from the active rhizosphere into the bulk soil. And in so doing, the hyphae actually bind soil particles together, forming aggregates which occlude organic matter, hence increasing their retention time in soil. And also, the choice of plants, either using perennials or annuals, actually influences the organic carbon that enters the soil. And soil disturbance is also an important factor which influences organic carbon in the soil, whereby tillage practices which disturb the soil could actually break the hyphae, as you see in this photograph, courtesy of Miller and Gestro, whereby any tillage practices would disintegrate these aggregates and expose the organic matter, hence increasing oxidation of organic carbon and reducing the accumulation in soils. It is therefore for this reason that this study seeks to investigate the suppression of AMF on soil physical and biological properties, and also to investigate the impact of soil physical and biological changes on soil carbon sequestration. The experimental site is the Flint Hills of Kansas, specifically the Kansas Biological Station in Manhattan, Kansas, and the soil is a silty clay loam described as fine, smetic, mesic, aquatic aquidols. Before I go on to elaborate on the materials and methods, I want to emphasize on the fact that this experimental site has been grown to winter wheat for at least 20 years before the establishment of this experiment, and that the prairie grasses were planted, so they are restored. They are not native prairie, they are restored grasses. With that said, the experimental design was a split plot of four replications organized as a randomized complete block. The main plots were the prairie grass, and that's Andropogon geraldi, while grain sorghum was planted either as no-till or conventional till. The subplots were pea application at a rate of 90 kilograms per hectare, while fungicide, another subplot, was specifically topsin and applied at a rate of 22 kilograms per hectare, with application every 3 weeks during the growing season. Fungicide and phosphorus was also applied, and there was a control which had neither pea nor phosphorus. And the prairie grasses were burned annually in the spring, while the sorghum that was tilled was either fore chiseled or spring disced. The soils were sampled annually since initiation, and the samples were collected at 0 to 5, 5 to 15, or 15 to 30 centimeter depth. But in this presentation, I'll elaborate on the results for the 0 to 5 centimeter depth. And the roots were sampled at 0 to 7.5 centimeter depth. The soil properties that were assessed included soil organic carbon, aggregate size distribution, percent abscular mycorrhizal fungi colonization, and microbial phospholipid acids. Also, root biomass was assessed. The results show that the prairie grass, the root biomass for the prairie grass indicated here was significantly higher than the root biomass for no-till or conventional till, and these are the annual systems grown to grain sorghum, while this prairie grass is a perennial crop. And this is understood because it has extensive root system. And the effect of suppressing abscular mycorrhizal fungi on root biomass indicated that the phosphorus and fungicide treatment and also the phosphorus treatment significantly increased root biomass only in the prairie grass, while the no-till and conventional till grain sorghum were not significantly different. The percent root abscular mycorrhizal fungi indicated that the prairie grass had the highest percent root abscular mycorrhizal fungi, while the annual no-till and conventional till were not significantly different. And the effect of suppressing AMF on root colonization indicated that the fungicide and the fungicide plus phosphorus treatment significantly reduced percent colonization in the undisturbed or the less disturbed prairie grass and no-till, while only fungicide reduced percent colonization in the conventional till, and phosphorus reduced percent colonization only in the prairie grass. The aggregate size distribution greater than 2,000 was significantly higher in the less disturbed prairie grass and no-till, while the conventional till had the least. But in the 2,050 to 2,000 micrometer size fraction, the no-till, the prairie grass had the highest, but there was no significant difference between the no-till and the conventional till. And this is very important because the macro size aggregates actually are important in occluding organic matter and hence enhancing carbon sequestration. And this figure shows the trend in aggregate size greater than 250 over time since initiation in 2004 through 2010, whereby the aggregate size for the prairie grass increased, even though there was an increase in all the both the annual and the perennial, but it had the highest increase, while the conventional till had the lowest and the no-till was intermediate. In this figure, I first of all want you to, this shows the change in macro aggregate greater than 2,000 size fraction, but this embedded figure actually indicates compares the macro aggregate greater than 2,000 upon initiation of this project, which was just about 1.5, and a close by native prairie, not the planted tall grass, but a native prairie which was less than 1 kilometer away from this site had about 25% macro aggregate. But just after 6 years, you can realize that the prairie grass had amassed an equal amount of macro aggregates, which is really significant. And the conventional till had just 8%, and the no-till was intermediate with 14%. The total soil organic carbon indicated that the prairie grass and the no-till had the highest and were significantly different from the conventional till, which had the lowest. The soil phospholipid fatty acid indicated that using the biomarkers, this specific biomarker is for general fungi in the soil, and here we can see that the less disturbed prairie grass and the no-till had significantly higher fungi biomarker in mole percent relative to the conventional till, which was low. But you realize that some bacterial biomarkers were higher in the conventional till relative to the prairie grass and the no-till, which were low. So bacterial biomarkers were higher while in some, while the biomarkers for the less disturbed systems were low. And this is also important because we know that fungi actually are more efficient in storing carbon than bacteria. So therefore, in summary, root biomass was significantly higher in the prairie grass than the no-till and conventional till, while the fungicide was more effective at reducing abiscular mycorrhiza fungi than phosphorus. Also, the fungicide decreased abiscular mycorrhiza fungi, but at this time, there was no significant effect on aggregation or on total organic carbon. However, total fungi increased with less disturbance, suggesting that saprophytic fungi may have a role in soil aggregation. The water-stable macro-aggregates were higher in the prairie grass and the no-till. And I would like you to take home especially this particular point, whereby only after 6 years, macro-aggregates in the prairie grass were similar to the native prairie. Therefore, soil management practices that enhance soil fungi are important in soil carbon sequestration. This project was partly funded by Kansas State University and a grant from the National Science Foundation with matching support from Kansas State through Kansas Technology Enterprise Corporation. I thank you, and with that, I will take any questions.
How did you assess root biomass?
We had to use cores and then bury them in the soil, dig them up, and then select them finely, wash them, first soak them in water, then select them finely, dry them, and then weigh them.
So
gravimetric. Yeah, coring technique, gravimetric.
What about the AMF markers? How did in your study and in your PLF
paper? Okay. Yeah, we did that. And but if you look at it, it's a long-term study. So we continuously assess for abiscular mycorrhiza fungi, but it's varied over the years. So that's why I did not want to, since it's broad, I did not want to go specifically, but with the less disturbance, it's higher in the less disturbed systems than in the conventional till system.
You said you sample different
depths, yeah.
Which one are the results?
0 to 5 mostly has been. I presented mostly the 0 to 5 results because since I'm actually interested in carbon sequestration, we realized that most of the changes occur in the 0 to 5. Through the 0 to 30 cm depth, we did not see significant differences. So that's why I concentrated on the 0 to 5 certain better step.
Do you remember what fungicide you used for your fungal exclusion or for trying to reduce the AMF? What fungicide
do
you
use? Oh, it's toxin. Toxin. Other studies have used Benomil, but we especially use toxin.
Any other questions? That time. Ready? Your last conclusion was that
saprophytic
abascular mycorrhizal fungi are important in carbon sequestration. You showed no difference in carbon content.
Okay, in the conclusion, I said saprophytic fungi. That's saprophytic fungi because other studies have shown that the fungicide reduces, it influences symbiotic fungi like abiscular mycorrhiza fungi and also pathogenic fungi, but not saprophytic fungi. And since so far we've not correlated the abiscular mycorrhiza fungi with total organic carbon, there was no significant difference in the treatment. Hence, we assume that saprophytic fungi would be important in aggregate formation too, which is our main concern in the study, that AM fungi should increase aggregation, hence increase carbon sequestration. But since we did not see any significant treatment effect between reducing abiscular mycorrhiza fungi and total organic carbon, we assume then that saprophytic fungi would be important in aggregation. Does that answer your question? time again, maybe he would.
Do you want to follow up?
Your conclusion, the last conclusion, I don't think can be based on the evidence that you present. You can enhance fungi, but the last point about carbon sequestration, your evidence isn't there.
This one? Because you realize that the less disturbed system, which is...
I know you've increased aggregates, and the theory is that that improves sequestration of carbon.
Yeah.
Carbon's locked up in an aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't show any increase in carbon over the 6-year period.
That result is not shown here, but here you realize that the less disturbed prairie grasses and the no-till have more carbon than the disturbed conventional till. And the less disturbed prairie have higher fungi biomass as mole percent using this biomarker, which covers all the fungi. Hence, we can then correlate that with the amount of carbon in the soil.
I'll ask a follow-up question. How important do you think the effects of fungi on aggregates is compared to maybe differences between fungi and bacteria in growth efficiencies, or maybe the importance of fungal biomass having a chemical structure that's quite different from bacterial biomass, and so it may be more recalcitrant in soils. So I'm just trying to get a sense for, you know, whether you think this aggregation factor is really important relative to other potential ways that communities and fungi in particular might be influencing organic matter.
Yeah, this question has several aspects to it. Because first of all, broadly speaking, we know that fungi are more carbon efficient than bacteria, given their cell wall content. And also, bacteria would respire more, because bacteria respire more carbon than fungi. And when we talk about the aggregation, their structure, fungi have a hyphal structure, whereby this hyphae, just like roots too, bind soil particles together. And as the hyphae go through the aggregate, even if the fungi is dead, that hyphae, which is also soil organic carbon, stays in that aggregate. And so it's not easily oxidized, right? It extends the retention time of this carbon in the soil. Because it's all about cycling, the dynamics of it. And the longer it stays in the soil, the more the C is stored.
Sure.
It depends on the soil management. When it's less disturbed, you realize that you expect higher fungi than bacteria. In more disturbed systems, with oxidation and bacterial biomass respiring more of the carbon, then you expect more of the bacteria. And it depends on the type of bacteria and the soil depth. So, the fungi may not be more concentrated in the rhizosphere. Remember, they extend into the soil. And that is one of the importance of abyssal mycorrhiza fungi, because it takes oxidizable carbon from the rhizosphere, which is more active, where you have a lot of respiration, to the bulk soil, which is lower in bacterial biomass, which reduces the amount of respiration that goes on in the bulk soil.
Great, thanks. Thank you.